Wildtalk.com. The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The Kane's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious vixen right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Rack here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Jackie, and I am joined, as always, by my sister from another mother, Lindsay Ward. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, and of course, we have our producer, Sorokin. Hello, Rock.
Ms. Marshall, I'm here and say, Rock!
Wait, wow. Does missing the cue count towards Rock's bingo?
Rock, big Sir Rock and Bingo.
Sir Rock and Bingo.
I thought I'm Yahtzee. I don't know.
Well, before we get into the show, I guess I want to just take a moment to acknowledge that Rock did have a birthday yesterday. So happy belated birthday, Rock!
Birthday, Rock!
Thank you.
We tried to give him the night off, but he wouldn't let us.
Right, we tried, and so he spent most of the day yesterday vegging and eating ice cream cake.
I've been doing that tonight, too, so.
He has ice cream cake. We have a happy producer.
Jeez,
all
dude.
Around.
You've been eating ice cream cake for 2 days. How big of a cake did you get?
I still have, like, another half a cake left. Jeez.
What?
It's going to be for a few more days.
Send that shit my way.
We'll see.
I don't like ice cream cake, so you guys can have it.
By the way, I'd also like to just say congratulations to Jed Schaefer on just another goddamn wrestling show. His wife delivered their healthy baby son last night, I think around 9:45 p.m., so congratulations to them.
Yes. That's absolutely awesome, and God bless her. Any woman who goes through labor deserves an awesome amount of credit, because that's got to be hell, pushing a 9-pound baby out of your body. Just saying.
Yeah, especially God bless her, seeing as that kid was almost 10 pounds. I am so, so incredibly sorry for you right now. I can't imagine how much discomfort you're in, but God bless you.
Yes, that's, oh my goodness, that's, so congratulations to them, and I'm sure it'll get better. You'll feel better, and you'll have your baby at home, and you'll be happy until it goes to school and starts getting in trouble. Just saying. Okay. So, we have a few things to talk about, and as usual, for the third week in a row, we have had news drop on the day of our show.
Isn't that awesome?
It is, and Lindsay and I were talking last night, and the general consensus was, we're not going to get lucky 3 weeks in a row. There's no way for 3 weeks in a row some kind of big news is going to drop on the day that we do our show. But lo and behold, we had a pretty big thing drop. Two things. The first thing is we had a lawsuit filed against WWE by TNA over a former employee by the name of Brian Wittenstein. And Rock, why don't you tell us a little bit about the lawsuit?
Wait, me? That's not my show.
I know.
Read it. I put the thing in. I haven't really read up on it, so.
Okay. So anyway, apparently there was a former TNA, this is why I need you to tell the story. I'm a little tongue-tied today. There is a former TNA employee by the name of Brian Wittenstein who worked in, I think it was Talent Relations or TNA's version of Talent Relations, that was hired on by WWE. And this dude had the gall to approach WWE with a whole bunch of information, confidential contractual information as it relates to TNA talent. And WWE immediately let him go. But they waited some time to actually tell TNA what had happened. According to the information, WWE made TNA aware of this on the 7th of May. I've not found anything anywhere that says when the exact date when this guy was terminated, which obviously, you know, they're not going to announce that information. But apparently, whatever amount of time it was, TNA was not happy with it. They wanted, I guess they would have preferred to know any further, so they're filing a lawsuit against the WWE and the gentleman in particular. And so my thing is, Lindsay, I totally get why they're suing Wittenstein. I mean, what he did was unethical at best. But I don't necessarily know that any lawsuit is going to hold up against the WWE in court because TNA is not happy with the time frame in which they received this information. They did fire him.
They did fire him, but they're saying that WWE is in violation of several laws because of what they received. And they are kind of guilty by association just because they did receive the information and one could technically look at Ric Flair's departure from TNA as WWE using that information to bring him back over, because we all know Flair is headed back to WWE. Right. They inducted the Four Horsemen. They, you know, signed Ric Flair's daughter to a developmental deal. Not to downplay the Horsemen induction at all, because they fucking deserved it, but those sound like payoffs, especially to have Flair at the Hall of Fame.
That, but TNA agreed to that.
TNA agreed to that, but that's just a little too coincidental that they get this guy who tells them, well, XYZ contract is going to be up, this person is going to be available on this date, and then WWE starts wooing, pardon the pun if you want to call it that, Ric Flair.
Well, okay, so here's my question then. The burden of proof at this point, if TNA continues, I am pretty much convinced that TNA has a rock-solid, airtight case against Wittenstein. Because the WWE went to them and said, hey, he did this. So you have WWE who's saying he did it, TNA who's saying he did it. Both can most likely, at least WWE can prove he did it. So, yeah, fired. Boom. Gone. With the WWE lawsuit, TNA is going to have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the WWE did this. And one of the things that's been my observation about professional wrestling is that word gets around about stuff. There's been talk about Matt Morgan possibly leaving WWE and, leaving TNA and possibly going back to WWE. There's been some other talk about people doing it too. Now, if there was not an alternative means of information getting around the professional wrestling world, how would WWE have found out that Matt Morgan's contract was coming up and that there was a chance that he was interested in going to WWE? I don't know what it is, but obviously there is some sort of alternative underground means of information getting around, and TNA's thing is they're going to have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury, if it gets to that point, or maybe to a grand jury or to a judge, that WWE did not get that information from any kind of underground word of mouth source from the workers and only through Brian Wittenstein. And that's going to be hard.
It's not going to be as hard as you think. I mean, yes, you could say WWE got it through the underground network. They got it through the wrestler. Cause I mean, say I was a TNA wrestler, I worked for them, my contract was coming up, and I was interested in going to WWE. I could send feelers myself to WWE and see if they were interested. That kind of shit happens all the time. It's wrestlers promoting themselves, trying to get to that next level. But from my understanding of this, and I have not read a lot on it because there isn't that much on it right now, is that Wittenstein basically took, from what I'm gathering, a packet of information to WWE and presented it to them and said, here are all the contracts, or here are contracts of people you might be interested in for your company. Here is when their information is up. Here is what's in their deals. I think he went beyond just saying when the contracts were going to expire. I think he revealed confidential information about the company. And like I said, it's guilt. It's more guilt by association. And if WWE has that, still has it, which they probably do because that was what was used for grounds for termination, then they will be considered guilt by association. I mean, they didn't prompt him for this information, but they still have it. And it's they may have still used it.
It's going to be very hard to convince a jury of that, though, because let's throw up a similar situation in an unrelated field. Let's say that I come up to you with 1,000 pounds of marijuana, which is unfortunately illegal, and I offer it to you, and you say no, and you call the police and turn me in. Do you deserve to be arrested for guilt by association because I gave you something illegal, especially when you turned around and did the right thing and got rid of me? And then there's also Rick Flair.
Am I in possession of it?
No, but WWE wasn't either. They got rid of him.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what WWE is in possession of. They got rid of him, yes, but we don't know if they retained any of the information that he gave them.
And that's where the burden of proof is on TNA. When you look at Ric Flair's status, not only within TNA and WWE, but the entire wrestling world as a whole, and then you look at his very close, long-standing relationship with the likes of Shawn Michaels and the likes of Triple H and, you know, people that he has worked with within the WWE, when you take all of these things and then you say you have to convince either a judge or a jury or somebody beyond a reasonable doubt that the only way the WWE could have got that information was about Ric Flair. And I just, there's so many circumstances that I don't see how they're going to be able to do it.
Oh, the likelihood of them winning against WWE is slim to none. I wouldn't be surprised if the case against WWE, especially if they don't do anything in discovery, because that's what they're in right now.
Right.
Discovery phase, and TNA has asked for an expedited discovery, which means basically we want all your information and we want it now. I don't think they're going to find anything. I don't think they're going to get anything. They've got Wittenstein, and he'll get the shit sued out of him. But as far as Vince McMahon and his lawyers are concerned, TNA does not stand a ghost of a chance unless something comes out in the discovery process. And it could be that Wittenstein cuts a deal with TNA or cuts a deal and says, look, I will give you A, B, C, and D if you let me off the hook for the lawsuit, and I'll let you get WWE. Because it would be definitely interesting if TNA were to go after WWE, they were to sue them, and they were to win. Because then they would possibly get monetary settlement from it.
Oh, God, that would go beyond interesting. That would be a miracle.
So, but, I mean, that's so far-fetched at this point. It's pure speculation. It's what WWE has versus what TNA has found and how much of it is true.
Right.
So,
well, Rock, you've been awful quiet. What do you think of all this?
It's interesting, honestly. If the TNA actually goes through with this full lawsuit, it'll be like one of those things where, are you sure, TNA, you really want to do this? You really want to go after the big boys? Because it's been common knowledge with, you don't have to be in WWE, you know Ric Flair wants to come back. Matt Morgan's gone on the record in other places and said, my contract's up in X amount of days. And, you know, he said in an interview with PW Torch, I believe, a few weeks ago, that he said he would be open to going back to WWE. So it's like, what did they really find out? And, you know, what did they already know? It's fishy.
Yeah. I mean, it almost seems kind of like, and this is admittedly, this is coming from someone who doesn't like TNA, okay? So I don't know a whole lot about Matt Morgan and what his stance is in the company, how big of a star he is, but Ric Flair is Ric Flair, okay? And it almost kind of feels like TNA is trying to use Brian Wittenstein's very irresponsible and unethical actions to their advantage to bully WWE because they're about to pull one of their, arguably their biggest star, even if he's not who he used to be, he's still Ric Flair, away from them and possibly, I don't know, what was Matt Morgan? Was he like a mid-carder or a main eventer?
Upper mid-card.
Upper mid-card. So he's about to pull, he's about to pull maybe one of their upper mid-cards and one of their legends away from them, and they see an in where they could possibly get one over on Vince, and so they're taking it. But this could turn around and seriously bite them in the ass because it's going to make them look bad. They're not getting their way, so they're going to sue.
There's a lot more to the Ric Flair story, which we're going to get details on Sunday. I'm going to investigate it fully. There's a lot going on with Ric Flair, which we'll discuss on WTR. As far as Matt Moore goes, TNA really wanted him. All they have to do is write him a check.
So would you guys, just so I have an understanding, would you say Matt Morgan, is like TNA's answer to what, Cody Rhodes?
No.
No.
Like, give me a WWE name that...
Matt Morgan is a Vince McMahon guy.
No, I don't mean character-wise. I mean status-wise in the company. Sorry.
Status-wise in the company?
Yeah, like, is he a Zack Ryder level-wise? Is he a Kane level-wise? Is he a Cody Rhodes level-wise, Big Show level?
I would say he's on the level of Big Show and Kane in TNA.
Okay. Just wondering.
Let's see, that's where he reached, I should say. Where they left him and put him in the last couple months and stuff is different, you know. But, yeah, that he's one of those big guys that, you know, the serviceable big men that you can always throw out there and have a good match. But it's... I don't know. It's...
Okay, well, you guys watch TNA, so let me just turn around and ask you. On a scale from 1 to 10, I think it's pretty obvious that the chances that Wittenstein's going to get his ass handed to him is a 10. Is there any chance TNA is going to come out of this looking like anything but morons?
No. I think this is a foolish move to sue WWE unless something comes out in discovery. Unless something really, really, really good comes out in discovery, TNA is going to have egg on their face. But I would like to believe that they have enough common sense to not go after Vince McMahon and the WWE unless they have something.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, too. If they're sitting there with a smoking gun with WWE's DNA on it, then okay. But if they're making a big deal, if they're making a big public scene about something when they really don't have anything and they're just digging for stuff, yeah, stupid.
I don't see Dixie Carter, because this is something that Dixie would have had to have been involved with, going, okay, yeah, we don't have anything, but let's throw their names on the lawsuit for shits and giggles and see what happens. I don't think Dixie is that bad of a businesswoman. I just really don't.
I hope not, because I'll tell you what, WWE will clean house with TNA if they legitimately don't have anything, and they may turn around. And if it turns out that either TNA doesn't find anything, doesn't necessarily mean WWE has not done something wrong. If TNA simply doesn't find anything, or WWE truly has acted every way ethically and has done nothing wrong, WWE may turn around and countersue them.
Yeah, for slander.
Slander. So I hope to God, not that I want anything bad to happen to WWE, especially at TNA, when it comes to TNA, but for their sake, you better have something really solid proof there. Otherwise, you're dead. I mean, seriously, that's stupid.
Never know. Vince may own TNA after all.
Just saying. Okay, so moving on to the next piece of WWE drama. There's an article on WWE.com WWE responds to a column featured in the Darien Times. I'll post the link in the chat room, so if anybody wants to look at the article, they can go in and take a look and read it. I don't know that I'm going to read the whole thing. But basically, some guy named Fisher, Joshua Fisher, who is the editor of the Darien Times, made some comments about WWE that were disparaging, I guess we'll say. But the one thing that really stuck in the craw of Brian Flynn, who is the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communication, was that the WWE as a product is, quote, barely above pornography. And so this guy wrote a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraph letter to this guy and basically questioned him on his judgment skills and basically did the spiel that I'm sure they had prepared about how 40 million fans of the WWE who attend live events bring their children, and blah, blah, blah. They, you know, you're insulting our fans by saying our fans are judging us bad and da, da, da. You're damaging our corporate reputation and blah, blah, blah. And Lindsay and I discussed this a little bit. And we kind of came out on the same side. Lindsay, what did you think about this?
From the strictest sense of pornography, if you want to term it this, you know, as far as people in a state of undress, yes. The men are in skimpy little tights, the women are in skimpy little panties, and yes, you have people in a state of undress to where you can see everything they have. But I mean, as far as the storylines go, no. WWE 10 years ago, fuck yes. That, my friends, was borderline pornography. And if you don't believe me, I will give you three initials that will take you back. HLA.
Where?
I knew that'd get Rock's attention. Now the storylines, they are not as racy. They are not as explicit as they were. I mean, I guess he's looking at it. He's probably only looking at the divas, seeing the divas in a state of, you know, doing the lingerie shoots and the bikini shoots and the skimpy little dress shoots. And WWE is putting that out there. And that's probably what he's seeing as pornographic, because God knows I don't know what he's seeing in the storylines. Unless he's looking at Eve.
And even then, if you notice the pictures they put on WWE.com, they're not as scantily clad as they used to be.
They're not as scantily clad as they used to be, but they still put a picture of Kelly Kelly out there showing her camel toe.
Yeah, well, that's true. And that is, and she mentioned the men and the women being dressed, you know, wearing very little. That's where I, like, 75% agree with her and 25% disagree with her. For the most part, I agree with the point she's making. When you look at what Kelly Kelly's wearing when she comes out, and when you look at what Kofi Kingston wears when he comes out, there's not a whole, I mean, technically, Kelly Kelly is wearing a bit more than Kofi Kingston.
Kelly Kelly is wearing a bra.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, a bra with panties and a belt and snow boots. Ugh. But the thing about it is, I would suggest where the difference lies is... shut up, Brock. Kofi Kingston, when he is outside of the ring, when they take photo shoots of him, he's covered. He's dressed. He's not naked. Kelly Kelly, quite literally, if you really, really want to find it, go do a Google search image for her of wearing nothing but a thong and pasties over her nipples. That's kind of where the difference lies. When he wears next to nothing, it's kind of motivated by the need for flexibility and aerodynamics and everything else for what he does. For her, it's flat out sexual. She's being objectified. That's where the difference lies with me. But if you want 50-50, you have to want 50-50. You cannot demand that the women cover up and give the guys a pass. You know, being half naked is being half naked, no matter what the reason is. Do I think it's pornography? Well, you know, when some dude shows up on Eve's doorstep, you know, hey, I got your pizza. Well, I didn't order a pizza. And then they go inside and they screw. Well, then maybe it'll be pornography. Until then, I think the guy is just pressing to an audience that is very old school with their sexuality mentality. But, you know, I hate to break it to him, but that generation, as rude as this may sound, is dying off. These people are dying. And the people that are still here are a bit more open. And I don't think that most people, maybe between, you know, 18 and 50 nowadays, are as quite offended by what Kelly Kelly wears as the previous generation before. So there are some things that I would change, but for the most part, I think Quite Above Pornography is kind of stretching it quite a bit.
Well, I mean, as far as the... Sorry, Rock.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as the objectification or however the hell you say it, I can't talk, goes, I don't think there should be a double standard for it. It's 50-50, you know, if the girls are running around like that doing the shoots with, you know, pasties on their nipples and a thong, I've always been one that the guy should have to do it too.
Really, I want a naked cane photo shoot.
I mean, you and I talked about this the other night when we were looking at this. If they did a beefcake calendar of John Cena, how well would that sell?
Absolutely, that's right. We were talking about that. Imagine this. The WWE put up a thing on their show where they have facts about, we were the number one rated blah, blah, blah. They said 4 million women watch the WWE every week. So let's say that they make a WWE Superstar of the Month calendar where they got John Cena and Kofi Kingston and Jack Swagger and blah, 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 all these guys. BK calendar. Let's say every single one of those women who watched WWE bought that calendar for $1. WWE would have just made $4 million on one calendar. Charge $2, you get $8 million. $3, you get $12 million. I mean, I understand that it's mostly a male watch program, so I, even though it fucking disgusts me, I understand why they have Kelly Kelly taking pictures showing her ass all the time. But they don't hold the men to the same standard, which is unfortunate, but also it's unfortunate on a equality scale, but it's also unfortunate on a monetary scale.
Well, I mean, that's, you say if everybody bought it for a dollar, then, you know, that's $4 million, you know, minus production costs. And WTR Fan 00, I would agree that the guys are out there to a certain point, but again, they're just as much of a mystery as the girls, because you get a hint of what they've got, but they're not walking around naked. And for the record, Trish Stratus, as much as I love her and we had her on the show, we love you, Trish, please come back. You pretty much saw everything Trish had.
Right.
Except nipples.
Right. I mean,
realistically, you, especially if you go back and you watch some of those diva photo shoots, you can pretty much see everything on that woman. And if not, go look for her modeling stuff. You'll see it.
And I would also like to point out that while those people never went totally nude, you have never, ever, ever seen a storyline where Jack Swagger used a paddle on another male wrestler. And you've never had, and you will never see, no matter how long you live, Jack Swagger versus, I don't know, Kofi Kingston in a pudding wrestling match. Like Lindsay says, we will never see a tuxedo match. It's not only the pictures that people like Eve and Kelly Kelly take. It's the way they're presented overall. They would never, ever have John Cena wrestling around and putting in pudding and jello, because they're not going to degrade him that way. So it's not only about those pictures, and it's not only about what they wear to the ring. It's about the entirety of the way they're presented. And I agree that's smart business for the WWE when they have largely a male audience, but it still could be construed as bad.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is, I'm used to it. By now, I'm desensitized to it. I've seen the girls, I've seen how they dress. It's, okay, you've got the same equipment I do, yours is just fake. So.
And mine's bigger, I'm just saying.
Mine's probably as big or bigger.
And real.
So, yeah, it's, you know, whatever. So, you know, just as a woman, it's like, I just look at him and it's like, you know what, I look at the women's division, I could see, I see everything it could be.
Yeah.
And then I see what they do to it, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. And so, Lindsay, we're talking about this before the show. Sometimes I wish they would just fire Beth, Natty, and Karma. Because those are the ones that keep the you know, the candlelight of hope going in my heart that one day we might actually get an awesome wrestling match at WrestleMania between Beth and Karma. It's like, just put me out of my misery already.
Yeah, Howard Finkel and Harvey Whippleman get those, except they get Jim Cornette's tennis racket.
And Harvey Whippleman and Howard Finkel do not have the prestige that John Cena has. They're not taken seriously to sell merchandise and sell pay-per-views and all that. These are gimmick people.
Let me put it this way. You are never going to see the likes of The Undertaker in a thong on a beach laying in the surf.
We wish we would, but we're not going to.
Maybe 10 years ago. No offense, Taker.
And, I mean, look at what happened when one of them did do it. When Shawn Michaels did Playboy, he got ribbed so bad because he didn't find out until after the magazine had printed that primarily dudes look at that magazine.
Hey, I have those pictures.
I had them, too. I was 16 years old, and I managed to find someone who was willing to go to the store and buy it for me. So I had them. But they weren't that bad.
They were very tastefully done.
Right. And if it would have been a woman in Playboy, she would have had her legs spread wide open, holding her labia open with the camera right up the snatch. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the writer of the article makes a really good point. I just think, unfortunately, it's just not anywhere near as bad as it used to. I think he's just playing to basically making Linda look bad.
Pretty much, yeah. He's coming out like for Linda's opposition, and yeah.
And she still got the nomination, so ha.
Yeah, so, you know what, Linda, unfortunately, no matter how far she tries to distance herself from WWE, she will never distance herself from it. And all you have to do is go out and Google WWE, and pictures of the Divas will pop up. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast. That's their business.
Right.
You know, to say that it's pornographic, that's a little much.
And I would also question if, what is the name of that douchebag film producer that made Transformers? Michael Bay. Michael Bay had some stuff in his film that, you know, a large part of that film was just using Megan Fox to sell sex. I kind of have a feeling that if Michael Bay ever ran for office, nobody would talk about that.
Well, yeah, that's a little different, that film.
Yeah, I mean, one is still a means of entertainment where somebody's being sexually exploited for ratings or money, but for some reason it's only an issue with Linda.
Well, yeah, she's running for political office.
Right, but if Michael Bay was running for political office, would people be saying the same thing about him? You sold sex for profit in your art.
But that's the key. Classified as art.
Well, television can be classified as art.
But television.
Well, that depends. If someone is showing, I don't know, wrestling on TV, or if they're showing golf on TV, or if they're showing local produced programming on TV, is it art? But if you're using the media to sell a person as a sexual being, does it matter? If you paint an obscene photo, Lindsay, you're an art person. If you paint an extremely sexually graphic photo, or a picture, is that different than someone showing a sexually explicit scene in a film or on a TV show? And that's where the difference lies. No one can really make a permanent judgment, yes or no, for that, because it's pretty much a matter of opinion. But does one person deserve to be punished? Does Linda deserve to be punished more than you as an artist because you painted a sexually explicit picture, or more so than Michael Bay because he made a sexually explicit film? Well, and Transformers is not sexually explicit, but you get my point.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at Transformers as an entirety, and Megan Fox is eye candy. We all know that. She's there for the tits and the ass.
Right.
Now, is she exploited to the extent that the girls are? not really. For the majority of the Transformers films, Megan Fox is at least covered. She is dressed. She's dressed in skin-tight clothes that look like they are painted on her, but she is dressed. The Divas are not. And that, I think, is kind of where the difference is. But on that note, I think we need to take a break.
I do, too. So this is Jackie Lindsay, and somewhere is Rock. I don't know, because he's not talking. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back after this.
Botchmerch.com.
Yes.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me, it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants, you know.
Some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret that I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted!
Gotta keep his bumblebees safe, but somehow.
You'll no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebees. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual, Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop. Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it, I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of a thousand holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's a do to say about it. They say it's new, but I haven't.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. When I'm too round and too hype, it feels good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is the you can't touch.
And welcome back, everyone, to The Rack, hosted here at Wild Talk Radio and brought to you by iBlack and BotchMerch.com. And for a limited time, if you go to BotchMerch and do an order and use the code WILDTALK, you get 5% off. Cannot defeat that. Cannot defeat that. Oh, my God. See, I'm all tongue-tied today. You cannot beat that.
You can't touch that.
You know, and I probably should have mentioned them in the opening of the show, and I do apologize to Botch Merch and iBlack that I didn't. I've always, for the most part, produced my own stuff, so I've never had sponsors before. So I'm just like, oh, gosh.
Sponsors are awesome, though.
Yes. So
We love our sponsors. We love you guys.
We do. That was my bad. So yes, definitely go check them out. And get the 5% off while it still lasts. Just saying.
Yes, and they add new things every single month to their orders, and they're bringing back the one they took away, Master of 1,004 Hold shirt this weekend only. So get it.
Yes, go get it. Don't be like me and wait, because now I will never have my Real Men Have Curves t-shirt. Don't suffer as I suffer. Go buy the shirt. Just saying. Okay, so we had a very good first hour, I think, covered a lot of ground. I want to talk about Kane, or I'm leaving.
Okay, talk about Kane.
So, there's the possibility of a Kane versus Daniel Bryan feud. And this is something that I'm very excited about, not only because it'll get the sexiest man in the company on TV more often, but I am always a big fan of taking two people who have completely different styles and putting them in either a feud or a match. And Lindsay, I can think of no other two people who are as different, have two more different styles than Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Oh yeah. Technical wrestler versus brawler. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it will bring out the brawler in Bryan and the technical wrestler in Kane, because Kane can, I think, actually technically wrestle. He just never gets to.
Right. And Kane has said in various interviews that he's done that he actually enjoys working with the smaller guys. He liked working with the likes of Rey Mysterio and Shane Helms and X-Pac and RVD. So he doesn't share my love for the big guy matches because he finds them slow. But I think it'll be really interesting to see how these two go. These are two, number one, yeah, it is opposite styles, but number two, these are two very good wrestlers. No matter what their different style types are, they do it very well. And my only hope, Rock, honestly, is that this is not going to be a 6-week John Cena versus Kane feud, but this is actually hopefully going to go for a while.
Let me propose this to you. You are a paying customer of World Wrestling Entertainment. You buy their pay-per-views often.
I do.
If I tell you that your, can't say your main event, your semi-main event for the WWE Championship at No Way Out is Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk versus Kane for the WWE title, your response is...
Squee. I love it. I mean, these are three of the best that they have right now. I think that would be great. Lindsay?
Kane doesn't need to be involved.
Ugh. But we've already seen...
If Kane is involved, it needs to be as part of a screw job to either screw Punk or Brian. But I don't see that happening. They need to finish the stuff out between Punk and Brian before they full-on bring Kane into this. Because they've really only given Punk and Brian a month. They need to at least get two out of it. Because after that match between the two of them at Over the Limit, right?
Yes.
No Way Out. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Over the Limit.
Over the Limit, yeah, sorry. I hadn't slept in 36 hours that day. I don't remember the name of the fucking pay-per-view.
but you got it for free, thanks to WWE.
I got it for free.
Thanks to WWE. Thank you, yeah, WWE.
Thank you, WWE, for giving me the pay-per-view for free because I want it. Yay! And why the fuck did you give me Lauren Dynas versus Cena? You bastards! I hate you for that. But, yeah, I would like to see them get one more really good match out of Brian and Punk before they start involving outside parties. Because I know Punk is going to move on, I think, to Cody Rhodes. Looks like Brian's going to move on to Kane, potentially. So before they move them on to those next two opponents, I'd like to see one more out of Punk and Brian. I'd like to see some resolution there.
What if we get Punk, Brian, Kane, June, July is Punk and Brian to finish it off?
Well, one of the reasons, going back to your original question, one of the reasons why I actually would not mind seeing that is, number one, if Brian and Kane are going to feud and if they're going to have a feud that's going to last longer than 2 weeks or 6 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever, then that there's something that's got to build. I mean, right now, with the storyline they currently have, my poor baby has just been a victim of circumstance. He's mad, but he's just mad because of what happened. There's no true animosity there. He's just being Kane. We've seen Punk versus Daniel Bryan already. Even previous to the storyline, we've seen Punk versus Daniel Bryan. There was all that talk when they first wrestled on Raw some months ago, and oh my gosh, the ROH handshake and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I agree that they need to finish out the storyline, but I don't see the harm in planting the seeds for the next one, planting the serious seeds for the next one. And I understand that Punk and Brian are two very, very good wrestlers. But yeah, we've seen the match twice in the last few months now. So I don't see anything wrong with kind of taking it and expanding it. I know it's Daniel Bryan and I know it's CM Punk and I know these are two of the most over guys in the company. But if we want to complain about seeing the same people in the main event as it relates to John Cena, there does have to be some consistency. Otherwise, we're no better than the people who are booking the same matches over and over again in the company. We're just okay with it now because we like the people that they're booking in the same matches over and over. So, yeah, book the three-way match to plant a seed between Brian and Kane, and then finish off the storyline sometime going into the summer, and then have them feud. I don't see the harm in that.
They're already doing that with Brian, Punk, and Kane now, with, you know, Kane beating them both with a chair and chokeslamming them twice and then chasing them everywhere. They've already started that. The thing about it is as much as I love Kane in a submission match, which I think is what it's going to be at No Way Out. No. Kane is not known as a submission wrestler, and he's not known for tapping out to submission holds. So if he were to be involved in that kind of match, he would not come out looking well. That's why I say hold him out or have him be involved in some other capacity other than being in the match, but don't have him be in that style of match.
Most likely, if they're going to book Kane versus Bryan in a a match like that. I think that's actually extremely unfortunate. I don't think they're just putting a whole lot of thought into that. It's kind of like going back and putting, I don't know, Daniel Bryan versus Kane in a chokeslam match. The first person to get the chokeslam wins. I think they could have put a lot of, a bit more thought into it. But I really would be careful about, you know, we have our precious little Punk versus Daniel Bryan feud, and these are our guys, and we like them, and you can't touch this. You can't do, like the song said when we came in, you can't do anything to this because we like these guys. I just, to say that no one or nothing can be introduced into this feud because these guys are our holy grail, I just think that shows a lack of consistency. Either we
I'm
want
not saying nothing and no one can be introduced, but at this point where they've got this feud, they're building it to a submission match. That's what they're going for if they haven't already named it. So that's what it's, you have to take into consideration that what kind of match they're building for. If it's just a straight up on brawl like it was at Over the Limit, yeah, Kane would fit perfectly into that. But the fact of the matter is that if they do a submission match, which I'm looking for the card now, and I don't think it's been announced, other than Cena.
Yeah, nothing else has been announced but Cena.
Okay, so nothing else except Cena and Big Show has been announced. So we're going to get a Punk Bryan match. It's probably going to be a submission match of some capacity. It's going to be a gimmicked match of some capacity. Something that they specialize in, and just looking at the match they gave us and thinking of Kane fitting into that, it just doesn't work. Now, for Kane and Bryan, you could do something like a cage match or a street fight, or you could do a different type of gimmick match, but for what they're probably pointing towards for Punk and Bryan, it's not going to work for Kane.
Oh, go ahead.
So I say you can have him be involved, but just don't have him be in the match. This month. Next month, yeah, fine, do a three-way, but not this month.
But we don't know for a fact yet that this is going to be a submission match. I understand that's where they're building to, but we were all also pretty much convinced that they were building to a loss for John Cena against Brock Lesnar, and it didn't happen. So we don't necessarily know yet that it's going to be a submission match. I mean, you could look at the current storylines, what have happened, what has happened as it has related to Kane, Punk, and Bryan for the last few weeks, and say, hey, make it a chair match. Kane's had a chair used on him and turned around and used it on Punk. I mean, it was pretty, so, I mean, it could very well be leading to that as well. I mean, it's really kind of hard to tell at this point for sure because we don't know what type of match they're building towards exactly yet.
Right, and I agree with you there, but it's just looking at Punk and Bryan's styles and the two of them together, and then you add Kane into the mix, one of these things is not like the others.
No, exactly.
And I don't see Kane coming out of that looking good.
But if we don't want to book people together because they don't book well together, then why book Kane versus Daniel Bryan at all?
Solo Kane versus Daniel Bryan I think would be better than CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Kane together. Just because you have two complementary styles or two of the pretty much the same styles versus one completely different.
So
the
would it be better?
At least complement.
So would it be better if we brought in, say, Kali? That way we got two big guys versus two submission people.
God,
then at least
no.
It's balanced.
God no.
So, I mean, just because they're different styles. So if you were to pull Kane out of the match and bring in, say, Rey Mysterio, you would say the same thing. He's not
actually
a submission stylist. He's a high flyer.
That could be interesting. Ray has done submission before.
So the problem,
that's the thing. I don't think I've ever seen Kane do a submission move. Has he?
Well, as much as I wish I could say I have, I've not seen all of his wrestling matches, so I couldn't say for sure.
I know Taker does, but as far as I know, I have never seen Kane use a submission hold. That's the whole thing, is it's more of the moveset that Kane uses. I'm just thinking about it, and I'm thinking about what Punk and Bryan did at Over the Limit, and it's like, I don't know about this.
You're missing one key move. The claw. The deadly claw.
Well, there's the claw, but also if we're saying that we're not going to put Kane in a match with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk just because he doesn't know a submission move, well, then we can never put Daniel Bryan in any kind of a brawl match or anything like that because he's not very good at that. That's not his forte. It just seems like we want to show everyone else in a light where we can show what they can do to give them a chance to show this particular wrestler in a different light and show maybe that he does know a submission move, but no, he's just a brawler. He's never going to be anything else but a brawler, so we shouldn't put him in any other kind of a match where he can show a chance to have any other kind of a skill.
No, I'm not saying that. You can put him in there. What my thing is you, if you put him in there, my concern is that he won't come out looking right in it. He'll come out looking weak or looking diminished or looking bad. That's my whole thing. You can put somebody in that kind of match, and you can have them show a different skill set, but the whole point of doing that is making them look good. And if it's not going to make him look good, don't stick him in there. You don't want the wrestler coming out looking worse than when they went in. You want them to look better. You want to build them.
Well, then in that case, I guess the only thing that at this point that we can really do is sit back and wait to see what WWE decides to do because, number one, we don't know that this is going to be a submission match. And number two, if it is booked as a submission match, we don't know necessarily that they're not going to book him in a way that shows that maybe he does know it. Like, if we know ahead of time that it's going to be a submission match, and if we know ahead of time that they're going to book Kane as someone who was just completely out of his element, then I would agree. But the WWE has been such... They've just been throwing so many curveballs lately and doing things that we didn't expect. I kind of don't put it past them to either, number one, not book this submission match, or number two, do something that's just totally not expected because they think that's funny. So, I mean, other than Wade, I don't know what else, because we're kind of debating over something and we really don't know how they're going to do it yet.
Right.
So, okay, well, now that we've gone on about that forever, let me pull up my flow sheet here and see what else there's to talk about. Cody Rhodes. Now that Cody Rhodes has lost his Intercontinental title, and first we thought he was going away, and because he goes onto his Twitter for some reason and posts time off, only to turn around and wrestle the next week on was it SmackDown? SmackDown. Where Rock? We'll start with Rock because he's been quiet. Where do you see them taking Cody Rhodes from here?
As we brought up on the show a few minutes ago, Cody Rhodes is in line for a push in the near future, to headline with CM Punk. I think I was telling Lindsay this last night. I think that's actually a mistake.
Really?
Yes. Here's why. I mentioned this on Sunday. They have not put him over in the feuds he's been in, whether it's Randy Orton, Big Show, Rey Mysterio, all the big name feuds he's never been put over. So having him be the guy on Raw, the top heel on Raw, challenging for the WWE Championship, either at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam or sometime in the fall, it's too early. Now what I would do is, I would take him and have him feud with Sheamus for the world title and let Cody develop and win that feud on SmackDown.
And it's kind of worth pointing out that a little bit before the Twitter comment on his part came up, there was talk about him moving over to Raw. So, this is something that I think is going to happen. I do think he's going to switch over. And I think I pretty much agree with you, and starting with CM Punk would be bad. Him even winning the World Heavyweight title within 6 months seems kind of bad.
I would disagree with that just on the point that if it's not for the WWE title, I think a feud with Punk would help him.
Yes.
Especially if they let Punk give him the rub. But putting the title in it is a mistake. If they want to have him feud with Punk, take the belt off of Punk and put it on someone else.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that belt being in there, even for Sheamus, the same thing. Rhodes isn't ready to carry a world belt yet.
Oh, no, I agree. And the thing about it is the WWE has done so much to devalue their titles. This would only make it worse. Oh, you go from having zero victories, losing your feud against 10 other people, and then all of a sudden you're in run with, you know, for the biggest prize in the company, and it just doesn't seem.
But
that just doesn't seem right.
But it's not the biggest prize right now. It's their third priority. The World Heavyweight title is their third priority on most booking sheets for them.
Yeah, it's John Cena and then what, the World Heavyweight title and then the WWE title?
WWE, then World Heavyweight title. Because, as you notice, they're not really... The Sheamus run hasn't been as strong as it should be. I guess that's the best way to put it. They have not built him strong. And that's a whole other problem with WWE booking as it is currently set up, but that's why we're here. We're gonna eventually rebook in the next segment or two. We're gonna rebook some stuff. So stick around for that. But I think Cody could hold the world title if we go in the fall somewhere.
Oh sure. I mean, I'm not against him having the title either one, the WWE or the World Heavyweight title. I just think they need to build him up and prepare him for it. It's, if he goes, I swear to God, if he goes to Raw and starts a feud for the WWE title, this is them trying to deal with what we were talking about, I think, last week, where they've circled the wagon so much around very specific group of people and not pushing anyone else that they're taking someone from a mid-card status who has lost his last three feuds to being the WWE champion, and it's like, yeah, fail.
All right, here's the scenario, what they're doing. As we've been talking about with the... we have Brodus Clay, Ryback, and Tensai doing squash matches. Give Cody Rhodes squash matches for the next 2 months on SmackDown. And after each... you know, match, he comes out and says, you know, he wants to go for the World Heavyweight title. He's proving himself to go for the world title. Give him a goal with these squash matches. Build him up and let him, you know, start low, keep building him up, harder opponent each week, and then by the time you're ready to put him in the title match, there you go.
Yeah, I mean that's the primary thing I think Lindsay and I were talking about. Just there's no objection to having him as a world title holder. Just build him up to it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, if you build him and you give it to him later in the year, that's fine. Honestly, I would rather them put the belt on Ziggler first than Rhodes, just because Ziggler's there, Ziggler's ready for it. They just, for whatever reason, they're holding him back and they're not letting him move forward.
And if Ziggler wins the title, Lindsay gets more ass wiggle.
Yes! I get world title ass wiggle. Yay! I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Okay, well, let's talk about one more thing and then we'll go to break. There's been some reports going around that morale amongst the creative team members right now is a bit down, and it's largely due to the fact that they cannot figure out how they're going to push out another hour of WWE programming every week for the third hour of Raw. And that's unfortunate for a lot of reasons. And Lindsay and I were discussing this before the show started. And here's one of the things that gets me about this. You know, I don't know what's going on in the WWE creative right now. I tried to get in, and they promoted someone rather than hiring me. But in my opinion, the WWE has stripped the WWE of 90% of its wrestling content. There's no, as I've said before, no cruiserweight division, no real women's division, no tag division, no nothing. It's only your versus standard one guy versus one guy. And so there's, you know, the storylines have been very limited. There's been a lot of complaints about what's coming out. Rock and Lindsay, but primarily Rock, almost had a coronary attack when John Cena won his match with Brock Lesnar. And even to this day, you will occasionally hear Rock say, if you listen, that's why he'll be discussing John Cena, and magically Rock will come up with, that's why John Cena lost to Brock Lesnar.
If you look at it, he lost to Rock, he should have lost to Brock, because he lost to Johnny Ace, he's lost to Laura Tensai, because, you know, put him on a losing streak. Shocker.
Right, see, that particular storyline and has really cut home with some people, and there's been a lot, I would suggest, and I don't know for sure, but I would guess that Lindsay and Woodrock would agree with me, that there's been something lacking from the WWE creative team as far as writing a decent storyline lately. And I'm like, okay, well, there's less types of wrestling to write about because there's nothing but there's nothing but singles division nowadays, and the Divas matches are basically TNA wrestles, TNA rolls around, guys get their hard-ons, and then they go to commercial. There's not a whole lot going on. How exactly is it that there's such low morale when there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of good work coming out of there in some people's opinion? Something seems to be wrong there. I'm not saying wrong in the sense of they're wrong in their opinion, but just the whole picture, something's not right.
I think they're burnt out. I mean, it's just from reading that story and the way that it sounds, I think they're just, they don't have anything else. It's, oh God, we've got to book, you know, 4 hours of content as it is, not counting the internet shows, not counting Superstars. So that's what? Superstars and NXT adds another 2 hours, so that's 6 hours. Now they've got to come up with an extra hour of content.
Yeah, and it was reported earlier this evening, several members of the WWE creative team are already dreading the idea of running a whole nother hour for Raw on a weekly basis when the show moves to a three-hour time slot beginning July 23rd. Internally, since the announcement was made, there's been a lot of talk that some members of the creative team are on the verge of quitting, including one of the head writers for the SmackDown brand. The reason behind the members of the WWE creative team thinking of quitting is due to the high amounts of stress that has been affecting the creative process dating back to the beginning of the year, a.k.a. Vince McMahon losing his mind.
When your head writer is talking about quitting, you may want to take a look and see what's going on. No matter what your opinion of the creative, the creative route that the company has taken, if your head writer quits, you're kind of screwed for, you know, at least a certain period of time until you can figure out the bureaucracy and put someone else in that position. If they are rewriting the shows, like if they're starting the shows and they're still rewriting shit, then they're writing on the fly, that's not good, because you just can't do that. You have to have something, you have to have some kind of lay of the land, otherwise you're just driving around like a maniac, and I would suggest maybe that's kind of what's been happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, we found out that they, I think it was 2 Raws ago.
The one when Heyman returned, four weeks ago, I think it was at this point.
Yeah, where Heyman returned, they didn't have that show completed until, like, the third or fourth segment into the show. That's shit WCW used to pull back in the day. And it's ridiculous that you're not going to set your booking, I don't know, before the show starts. I mean, and then you complain about how nobody knows what to do or where to be or how to go. And we all heard the story that WWE had to call an audible on Monday because the creative team fucked up and said show got re-signed on Sunday or on Saturday, and the match was on Sunday. And WWE had to call an audible to cover that shit up.
Yeah. They kind of also did the same thing. I don't know if you guys remember, but Monday when John Cena showed up on Raw, he made a statement something to the effect of, and for those of you who are saying that this is my fault because I didn't pin Big Show, I didn't pin John Laurinaitis before Big Show got involved, if Big Show was sent out there, I was going to lose no matter what I did. I don't know if that was kind of said in the same vein, but it was still to a certain extent, I would suggest, someone from WWE at least feeling the need to explain themselves for what they did. And so you could say that maybe in some form there were 2 audibles last week.
I think that was more Cena than it was creative. Cena, as far as I know, was not scripted. So I think that was more Cena. I mean, that whole promo was just kind of silly and stupid to me. Stevie Wonder saw why Big Show did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, you should have walked out there and you should have pinned him. But you fucked around and you paid the consequences for it. But anybody in their right mind who loves what they do would go out there and kick your ass for that job. I just don't agree with the way that they did it. But yeah, having John Cena go out there and throw a temper tantrum was not the best of things. And maybe it should be where they cycle their creative team, at least the lower writers, in and out every 6 months.
Okay, here's another suggestion, or a question, rather. Rock, if WWE would have booked this where John Cena did not come out and throw a fit, if John Cena would have come out and said, I don't approve and I'm not happy with what Big Show did, but I understand why he did it, and continue to focus 100% of his ire on John Laurinaitis, would that have served to put John Laurinaitis over as a heel more rather than pushing Show as a heel?
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, and I could just be jaded because I'm a fan of Big Show, but I don't like what I'm seeing right now. I don't like Big Show as a whiny heel. I don't like whiny heels in general, but I most especially don't like Show as a whiny heel.
Making Show the whiny, bitchy heel in this was a mistake. Just because of the way that they did it on Sunday, they did a really nice setup where Laurinaitis and Show make the deal in the ring. Show fucks Cena over. And then Show is the reluctant enforcer or heel for Laurinaitis. With him eventually either turning to that whiny heel or turning back face.
Yeah, that's one thing that we have not discussed. What if this, everything that they're saying happened where Show signed a new contract either late Sunday night or early Monday morning is true, but then it turns out that Cena and Show are now working together at this point in some way to get Laurinaitis. That would be cool. I'd like that. I still don't like whiny Show heel, but I guess I could deal with it if I got the payoff I wanted.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that payoff.
Yeah, I don't either. I'd love it. And I'd squee, but we'll see. So at this point, I think we should take the show that is sponsored by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com and go to break.
Yes.
I think we should too. So this is Jackie and Lindsay and Rock, and we will be right back right after this.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold two, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, WILDTALK Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way
with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from botchmerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Yeah, I get it, you're an outcast. Always under attack, always coming in last. Bring it up the bass. No one owes you anything, I think. You need a shotgun blast, a kick in the ass. So paranoid, watch your back!
everybody to the rack here at Wild Talk Radio, brought to you by BotchedMerch.com and iBlack.com. And this is a very happy Jackie who has just found a little little group of cane pictures that someone has found. Yay! And I'm sharing them with Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin, who are joining me here. And so now that we have taken the WWE and TNA and basically cut them down to size, I say we do our own stuff now. I think it's time for the Chic Tweet of the Week.
I think so, too.
Cool.
It's time for Chic Tweet. Well, you're the one having sex with you. I'm the most handsome one in too many of the world, and you're the one having sex with me. Whoa, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna wax your ass, and then you're gonna be haunted.
I don't care how many times I hear that intro, I laugh every week. That is just hilarious. So who is ready?
No one answers.
No one answers. Okay, I'm ready. I have mine. So I will share my Chic Tweet of the Week while you guys look for one. Apparently, having the Iron Sheik as a fan, having him be being over with him is a mixed blessing. Because this week, Santino tweeted, "Santino, I break his back and make him humble, but still he over with me." So if he's going to break your back and make you humble when he likes you, I dread to think what he would do if he didn't like you.
Well, I can tell you. I've got mine right here.
Okay.
Virgil Rice Krispie Dick.
I still...
see.
Yeah.
I see one that I bet Rock is going to use.
Which one?
The Philly one?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rock.
Yeah. The Philly young and the strong, they make the Boston look like old-timer. Bring it on. Game 7, Saturday night. I'm ready. Bring it on.
All ESPN can talk about is Tim Tebow.
Fuck the Tim Tebow. Fuck the Tim Tebow. Fuck the Skip Bayless. Fuck him.
And fuck the Virgil. And the Jose Canseco and the Tito Santana, too.
And for wrestling fanatic, fuck the Miami Heat.
Ouch.
Okay.
Jackie's like, and who are they?
They're a baseball team, right?
Basketball.
Oh, that's the one with the orange ball, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I got it straight. Okay, so I'll leave the next one up to Lindsay. What do we want to do next? Do we want to do foreplay next, or do you want to show your squee of the week next?
We're doing foreplay next.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. Okay.
You're welcome.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steamy, and oh so exciting.
Come on, baby, give it to me, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the rap.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Awesome Powers is awesome, just saying.
I love that intro, I really do.
Wrestling fanatic goes, I find foreplay doesn't work well without a webcam.
Yeah, but he misspelled webcam, so...
He fixed it.
We have one of those.
We do.
We're good. We have to get it back from Omega, but we have one.
Let's start with Jackie. Jackie, what would the name of your autobiography be called?
Oh, wow, the name of my autobiography.
Squee. A stalker's story.
If I'm going to write an autobiography, first thing is that it has to have, the title has to have an obscenity in it for it to truly be my story. So it would be And Jackie Vice fucked my life.
Okay, Lindsay. If you could star in any reality show, what would it be and why?
Do I get to kill people if I do?
No.
Damn it.
She asked me where I'd put her. I know where I'd put her.
But that's not the question. The question is where she would go.
Cake boss, because at least I would learn a skill. I hate reality TV. Except for Storage Wars. I'm addicted to Storage Wars, but other than that, I really cannot stand most reality TV shows.
Oh, Extreme Couponing is coming back on Monday. Sweet.
We will never see that. Yeah.
Yes. This is officially the last episode of The Rack now.
Anyway, Jackie, what fruit best describes your personality?
The fuck do you get these questions?
Out of the top of my head.
He came up with them 5 minutes before we did this segment. I'm just answering goddamn questions.
No, I didn't. Actually, came up about 4 hours ago.
Oh, wow. You're on top of things.
I know.
The fruit that best describes my personality. A banana.
Why?
Have you ever met me? Bananas? Yeah, describes me. Bananas.
You want to be a phallic object?
Yeah, sure. It works for me. See, that's the thing. When you're a woman, your phallic object is fictional. It's metaphorical, so it can be huge. So, sure. I'll be a phallic object. I'll be a banana.
Lindsay, what type of flower describes who you are as a person?
I would say I'm a rose.
That's what I was going to say. No, why would you be a rose, honey? Let's see if we both came up with the same reason.
Because I'm pretty to look at, but I have thorns.
That's what I was going to say. Look, but don't touch. Or you get stabbed. Yeah,
I'm small, but I'm fast.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know, Lindsay's like 4 foot tall.
5.
Okay.
5 feet 2.
5 feet 2. I'm sorry. I don't want to take away your foot in 2 inches.
Are you five
I
foot?
I may be short, but I will fuck up your kneecaps, people.
Are you 5 foot? Just 5 foot 2. Or are you 5 foot 2 and like 1/16?
Really? You're gonna make me hurt you, aren't you?
Yes.
Remember, she's a rose.
I know.
You pick on her, she'll stab you.
I can't pick on Tim. I have to pick on somebody.
Poke the bear. Don't poke the bitch.
So let's poke. Let's make fun of Tim.
Oh, the old Sweet. Guy. the guy who the Puerto Rican transvestite sex doll.
Wait, you know, I don't even know if he's listening.
He's probably not listening, so it's okay to talk shit about him. That's what he gets for not listening to the show.
WTR fan says 5 foot 2 standing her on her Kane action figure collection.
No, I'm 5 foot 4 standing on my Kane action figure collection. 5 foot 2 is my actual height.
Yeah, she's kind of like I forget the name of the movie once, but just don't ever pat her on the head. She doesn't like that.
Unless it's Kane or Taker, I'm okay with them doing it.
Well, you prefer... Well, if it was Kane or Taker, still wouldn't be okay, because I know of all the places they could pat you, you would not want it to be on your head.
They can start at my head. And just work their way down.
And again, there go our sponsors.
What? All the way down is the shoulder. I was not explicit. The way down could be the shoulder or somewhere else. I mean, you know, I don't have to be specific. God, you all are such pervs.
Well, that's why you're a friend.
I know.
So, from here we have 2 places we can go. Rock, where do you want to go?
What 2 places can we go?
Can we go to Dairy Queen?
No.
Damn.
We can. There's two things that we can do. We can go ahead and go forward with our Kane Squee of the Week and get it out of the way.
No. I still have to queue it up because I was told at 11 o'clock what the Kane Squee of the Squee of the Week is going to be. So.
Sorry, I forgot. I had to pick it this week.
So I have to queue it up so we can play it.
Okay, so then we're going to go on to talk about something that started last week, and it's rebooking the walkout of 2011 into CM Punk storyline for the summer when he left the WWE. Now, I have to be totally honest and say that I heard you guys mention this. Obviously, I was here, but I did not realize how seriously you two were taking it, so I just blew it off. And so I have some stuff prepared, but it's only about the CM Punk storyline, and there's not a whole lot to it, because I seriously did not know how seriously you guys were taking it. I thought it was going to be one of those WWE things where we were going to start talking about it and then not see it through. So I'm prepared for what I have.
Then go first.
Okay, so here's what I did for the CM Punk storyline. I didn't change a whole lot of it. But I think I, like everyone else, was one of those who thought that they brought Punk back way too soon. So what I wrote primarily and what I would have changed was I would have kept him out of the WWE a whole lot longer. And basically what I would have done is I would use the connections that various people in the WWE have with other people and other, you know, business entities and entertainment companies, and had Punk continue to do what he was doing. Maybe instead of Triple H walking UFC fighters to the ring, yeah, it would have been Punk, and he'd have had that belt. I'm not saying specifically that, but that kind of a thing. Have him use the connections that WWE has to put him in situations where it looks like he's embarrassing the company, and he's doing it with the belt, and that's the key. He's getting over on the WWE. Show Stephanie, show Triple H, show Laurinaitis, and make it obvious how bad he's pissing them off by what he's doing. Have them eventually at some point start talking about pulling legal charges, because my understanding is that no matter who has the title, who has the World Heavyweight title, or whoever is the World Heavyweight Champion, the belt still belongs to the WWE, not the champion. So he just continues to humiliate WWE on a public level until they've had enough. It's amazing what people will tell you about things when you're holding a court order in your hand. And so Triple H manages to stay one step ahead of Punk at one point and beat him somewhere. And so it's Triple H at some, this would not be something that would be happening, like, say, on UFC TV or anything. Maybe you can post photos of it on WWE.com or have someone talk about it on Twitter, where there was a confrontation somewhere between Triple H and CM Punk over the belt. Triple H didn't want any problem with Punk, he just wanted the belt back, and through the altercation, Punk got away with it. When he got away with the title, and Triple H was not able to get him. So finally WWE pulled all the legal strings they had, and they were going to press charges against Punk if he did not, at minimum, return the WWE title to them. So Punk shows up at Raw, probably would be at Raw because they're not going to do that on SmackDown, shows up with the belt. He shows up with the intention of only returning the belt, but Triple H tries to convince him to sign some kind of an agreement, and he hands back the belt, he leaves, and just decide to come back, and that's where I pick it up at where WWE left it. He returned the belt, Cena won the belt as part of a tournament. Punk came back with the stipulation that if he came back, he got a chance to face his WWE champion, John Cena, honestly, for the title, wins it back, Del Rio cashes in his Money in the Bank, and pick it up from there.
Okay.
All right. I like it.
Lindsay?
I didn't change a lot to Punk either. Mine was really, again, Jackie's right in the sense that I just would have held him out longer. And I would have done a few other things, basically. Mine is, you know, you have leading into Money in the Bank. Punk is teasing his departure. You had that wonderful build that they did leading up to that pay-per-view. You know, Vince screws up. He rolls the dice because he can't get Punk to re-sign. And so he threatens Cena. I was fine with all that. Punk goes over as planned, and kind of like Jackie's, he leaves and he goes out and he utilizes Twitter and YouTube and media appearances to put himself over as the WWE champion, and he keeps hyping that and pushing that while the storylines on TV are going, and this builds up to SummerSlam, and he kind of begins to get more aggressive and I guess a little bit more desperate as WWE starts to move on without him. Meanwhile, back in WWE, you have the company go ahead and go through with the announcement that John Cena has been released. You have John Cena confirm it on Twitter because he didn't get the job done. Vince then comes out, and rather than being removed right there, you know, he comes out and he says, well, we're going to crown a new champion, forget CM Punk, fuck him, we're going to decide the champion at SummerSlam, just because I hated the fact that they did that entire Raw to crown a new champion. They could have stretched that out just a bit. But do the whole tournament to decide the title holder, that person is decided at SummerSlam, and also they debut another belt at SummerSlam, just because I had a big problem where you, on that Monday night, you have them walk out with the same WWE championship that CM Punk has just walked out with, acknowledging to everyone that, yes, we have two copies of this belt, because one wasn't ugly enough.
I know, right?
I mean, I thought that was a huge mistake on their part, where they could have played up the more panic and the, oh fuck, what do we do kind of thing, because everybody was expecting Cena to win, so they didn't prepare. And now it's, we don't have a belt, we don't have a champion, we don't know what to do, this is what we're going to do. Anyway, in that Raw, you have Hunter show up about the top of the second hour, and then you close the show with Hunter removing Vince from power. And then the next week, Hunter is now firmly in charge. His first act as COO and GM is going to be to reinstate Cena. He places Cena in the tournament for the belt, and then this leads to what they did, which is Cena versus Mysterio at the pay-per-view. He also denounces Punk as the WWE champion, but he does extend an invitation to Punk to come to Stamford to at least negotiate either a new deal or the return of the belt, with the threat of, we will come after your ass after the pay-per-view if you don't agree, just to give him some time. I have to scroll down. Sorry, this is a little long. I get a little long-winded in case everybody doesn't know. Anyway, Punk responds on YouTube, and they played on the go-home for Raw, for SummerSlam. The only way he's going to consider a new deal is if they give him his demands, yada, yada, yada. Again, Triple H denounces Punk, and he states the new champion will be crowned at the pay-per-view. That will shut Punk's mouth once and for all. And then you have Punk in L.A. the day of SummerSlam. He's taking pictures. He's posting them on Twitter, showing he is there. He's at WWE events. He's got tickets to the show, and then he's tweeting, you know, he's in the arena that night. WWE is looking for him. They're going to try to arrest him if he's got the belt. And then you have Cena and Mysterio go off. Cena goes over clean. And then the post-match, Cena gets ambushed by Punk, who is hooded. He exclaims he's the true champion, holds up both belts before security runs him off, and he leaves with both belts. Now they're really fucked. Do I have to read this whole fucking thing, or can I just post this somewhere?
Read it.
Oh, God. You should have told me to shorten this last week. Anyway, after the pay-per-view, Raw opens with Hunter meeting with Laurinaitis. He's been sent by the board of directors to find out what the hell's going on. Hunter informed him that he has till the end of the... Laurinaitis informs Hunter that he has till the end of the night to rectify the situation, or he finds himself out of a job. Hunter informs Laurinaitis that he has called a parlay with Punk, and the two of them will be meeting next week on Raw. In the meantime, Hunter states that the show will continue on as planned. We find out that Cena is still the official champion. He's been given a belt from the vault until one or both of the belts can be negotiated for the return. Then later on in the show, Cena talks trash to Punk and demands that they settle the matter once and for all. It provided Punk mans up and signs a new contract. Oh, thank God I don't have to scroll down anymore. Next week on Raw, Punk shows up with both belts in hand. Hunter tells him that he's more than willing to work out a peaceful solution to this entire mess, provided Punk is willing to agree to one. Punk reiterates he wants his demands to be met, and that includes now being recognized as the true champion, not John Cena. Cena tells Punk he has no right to demand that he's stripped of his belt. He won it just as fairly as Punk won his. He adds that really the only difference between them is that Punk is no longer a WWE employee. He again insists Punk re-signs his contract, and then they settle it like men, basically. Hunter comes back in. He says he's willing to make the match, but Punk has to agree to hand over the belt if he loses. And if he wins, he has to sign this new contract. And they do this at Night of Champions with... I'm not going to go on the whole thing because this is really long. But... goes in Night of Champions. Punk actually loses to Cena. And part of Punk's deal is he has to hand over the belt. He has to go on his merry way. If he does lose, which takes him again off TV for a nice little break. And then what you do is you have Cena go over clean on Punk. And then Del Rio comes out, cashes in Money in the Bank, takes the belt off Cena, which kind of sets up for the walkout. And then you have Punk return at the walkout. Can we post like the whole theories online?
Yes, we'll put them on MileTalkRadio.com, and we'll put them on Facebook, and which will go out on Twitter as well.
Okay,
that's no problem. We can post that.
What about you, Rock?
So I'm going to keep some of it kind of sort of what they did early on, but it has to extend. Money Bank, Punk wins, leaves the same way he did. He does what he does, goes to Comic-Con. But then he goes to other television shows, goes to other conventions, and appears as the WWE champion. While all this is all going on, Vince McMahon in the WWE loses his power like they did, and Triple H is put in charge. This is all July, just so we're clear. There are the events that happen in July. In August, CM Punk shows up at an ROH event, carrying a bag. At this ROH event, it's not a pay-per-view, not a television taping, just an event, a house show, a live event, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, everyone has a camera, and it'll be on Twitter and whatever. He shows up, talks about the legendary champions in wrestling history, such as Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, etc. You go on and on and on. He brings up the ROH legacy of world champions they've had. Who's blinking now? Okay. At the ROH event, he pulls out of the bag the classic WWE Winged Eagle Championship, showing off that this is the real WWE title, not, you know, the spinner title. What? This was the title worn by the greatest WWE champions in wrestling history. WWE announces starting at SummerSlam, there'll be a tournament where we'll start to crown a new WWE champion, which will take over the course of the next 6-8 weeks leading into October pay-per-view. So that's August. You have him still do the media and whatever. You just keep getting his name out there. With Triple H in charge in the following weeks, many superstars will cut interviews talking about Triple H and his inability to lead the company, because the face of the company, the WWE champion, is no longer with the company. CM Punk launches this viral YouTube campaign talking about the different wrestlers who are moving on in the tournament. He starts cutting promos about the WWE guys, but this is all viral. So he uses the internet to his advantage. He uses Twitter and YouTube to his advantage. His main point is that he is the real WWE champion. As it gets down to, I guess, the final four or final eight in the tournament, wrestlers start to be seen laid out in the backstage areas or in, you know, different parts of the arena. But no one knows who these attacks are, you know, created by. Eventually in September, viral messages will start to appear on WWE TV promoting CM Punk's web series. How does he do that? You know, it's paid sponsorship. He gets the time to appear, you know. He pays for the time. And starting when you get to October, he starts to buy more commercial time, talking about how he's the real champion, that the chaos will continue if the WWE tries to continue and crown a new champion. As all this is going on, we all remember that Kevin Nash was brought back in. Well,
right.
Triple H hires Kevin Nash to become his personal security to make sure CM Punk does not interfere in the main event of the October pay-per-view where they're going to crown a new WWE champion between John Cena and Del Rio. With the champion about to be crowned, CM Punk's music hits in the arena, which, you know, puts Triple H and Kevin Nash in the ring, or right around the ring, you know. I would say for this, in the ring, to wait for him, you know, so he doesn't come out and interfere. At this point, Kevin Nash attacks Triple H and lays him out. And he also lays out Del Rio and Cena. So Kevin Nash causes mass chaos. He's the one you think that's been laying out the people. It's kind of a swerve. The next night on Raw, Triple H calls out CM Punk and Kevin Nash. In his belief, they're working together. But neither man appears. But the entire roster is then shown on the Titantron, leaving the arena. While John Cena walks out and tells Hunter they have no faith in him, and that the entire roster is leaving. Everybody walks out. Everybody. Randy Orton, John Cena, all the top guys walk out because Triple H has shown that his inability to lead and, you know, protect the roster from all the attacks from CM Punk and Kevin Nash. Triple H shows up the following week on Raw and announces a new era in WWE begin. Since the entire roster has no faith in him whatsoever, he's going to start anew. And he'll bring in, you know, talent from developmental. He'll bring back legends. They want a job? Come get it. That's the entire premise of the new WWE era. They don't want to be him, be there, he'll start anew. So you get this show, it's entire filled with legends and young superstars from developmental. And you see throughout the night, Triple H is shown multiple times, frustrated in his office while talking on the phone to, you know, to whoever it is. You know, the classic WWE backstage shot. At the end of the show,
right.
Triple H comes out and talks about the new era has truly begun. New stars will be made, yada, yada, yada. That will, you know, this WWE will be stronger than ever, and at Survivor Series, there will be a new WWE champion in the next 4 weeks. They'll have legends and younger talent compete in matches to earn a shot at the new WWE title. Before Triple H can finish it all, Vince walks out and tells Triple H that the board of directors have no faith in him at all, and that he is no longer in charge. And that Vince McMahon regains his power, and his first act was to rehire CM Punk. CM Punk comes back out, talks about how he's now become the new face, all the demands are met. He's now the face of the company, and that which leads to WWE crowning a new number one contender, which will then end up being John Cena, and the two will face off for the WWE title at Survivor Series.
Nice, I like it.
Nice.
I don't like these reading long things.
Yeah, see, I told you.
I hate the sound of my own voice, but anyway, there you go.
No, really.
I think we all hate the sounds of our own voice.
Yes, but anyway, that's, you know, booking by me, and you heard Jackie and Lindsay. So we all have, like, our own ideas and theories. We want you, you know, to get actively involved, because we may be doing this as a regular part of the show. Different weeks, we may, you know, if the right ideas, let's book something.
Well, I tell you what, didn't somebody send one in? Don't we have one from Wrestling Fanatic?
Do you still have it?
I may. Let me see.
Just in case you don't, there you go. You can read, since you're one of the hosts of the show, read off some of, you know, his points. Because he sent in like a 4-page, you know.
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay.
So, Wrestling Fanatic, I'm going to kind of read highlights of this because, while it's awesome, it is 4 pages, and me reading aloud 4 pages is going to be horrible and the worst radio you'll ever hear, but thank you so much for this. But this is him booking the WWE storyline surrounding CM Punk, and I believe that's all. I don't think he does the walkout. But he titled it CM Punk, the real WWE champion. Let's see. He kind of agrees with us that WWE did blow the load and drop the ball with Punk as far as he came back too soon. And they really blew the load with the storyline. So, let's see. Just start here. Let's see, the main issue after that is simple. WWE blew their load. They saw this as a television storyline rather than a wrestling storyline. So, yes, Punk cuts the same promo, and he appears at Comic-Con and uses Twitter. But let me back up a bit. After CM Punk becomes WWE champion by beating, I assume he means John Cena here. He says CM Punk, but guess that means John Cena. The new COO, Triple H, opens the show before any of the regular pyro and opening video package and will not be introduced. He comes out and explains the situation, explains that since Punk does not wish to sign a reasonable contract offer, they will strip him of the championship and have a four-person tournament for the WWE championship. He also says that if CM Punk does not return the WWE title by SummerSlam, the WWE will pursue legal action. So you have the four contenders being Cena, Miz, Mysterio, and Del Rio. Cena goes over Miz, Mysterio, and Del Rio goes over Mysterio. So you have Del Rio versus Cena at SummerSlam for the main event with a hard push. CM Punk goes to Twitter, Comic-Con, and he also takes the championship to wrestling conventions, possibly some indie events. This is kind of interesting where he says, I would even hire Punk his own agent for this time period and allow them to act independently so everyone thinks it's a shoot. I'd like to point out this would have been a great thing for Paul Heyman. Just imagine Paul Heyman as CM Punk's agent.
That would have been tremendous, honestly.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That would have been epic. But whenever he does an interview, he will simply put over that he is the WWE champion. He was never beaten. He's not opposed to working with the WWE. He just has his demands that he wants to be met. And he also wants to make positive changes to the product. Let Punk be Punk. Let him talk shit. And hopefully everyone on the internet is talking about what Punk is doing. They attend events. And you let word of mouth do its thing. Come SummerSlam, it is the time to decide a new champion. Punk is at the show. He's actually seen at the show. Fanatic's got him facing the hard camera, but will be up to the right of the screen. If he's in the front row, it screams that it's a work. So Punk has the belt in the crowd during the opening match. He kind of pulls a Shane Douglas. The crowd knows what's going on, and facing Punk, the fans at home will eventually see it, but it is not mentioned at all by the announcers. Security then comes and removes Punk from the arena, and the pay-per-view continues as normal. Cena is still the champion, but he is not convincing in the way he sells his excitement over the win. Once again, the announcers will notice this and just push the storyline. Or will not notice this at all and just push the storyline. You then give Punk another month to be Punk. He talks about why he was at SummerSlam, and his reasons are is because he was interested to see what they would do and how they would explain one of those men as the WWE champion when he has the belt and he beat John Cena. He also talks about how he likes the boys in the locker room and is interested to pay for a ticket to see them perform. You have Punk throw out the first pitch or be interviewed at the NFL, interviewed at halftime of an NFL game, the weekend of Night of Champions. Let's see. And you also have Punk show up in ROH with the belt. Oh, this is a lot. Okay, somebody else take over.
All right,
I don't have it.
You can get more of it. It's just now on Twitter, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, or facebook.com/wildtalkradio. You can get the complete thing. I'll save you from reading the entire thing. It's now online.
It's now online?
Yes.
Okay. But essentially, that's the first bit of it. Like I said, this is four pages, and I'm only into page two. I love you, Wrestling Fanatic, but I cannot read this whole thing online.
Yes.
On the air. It's...
Right. So go to our Facebook and Twitter, and it's up there now. I just posted mine and Wrestling Fanatics. Lindsay, you need to resend me yours. Jackie, send me yours, and I'll put what's written out on the Twitter and Facebook and stuff. Because it's a lot to read, and you know, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, more of that and stuff.
Yeah, more of that and stuff, and it's very good, Wrestling Fanatic. You know, it's awesome, love it. But yeah, that's a lot to read. So, but yes. So we also talked about the lockout. I know Rock rebooked it. Jackie didn't. I kind of got through it, but I just had a difficult time. Do we want to talk about it versus?
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about it. Bring up somebody else. We'll talk about it.
Okay, what are we going to talk about? Who wants to start?
You go.
I didn't do one. I didn't know you guys were going to take it so seriously, so...
Throw out some of your ideas for the walkout, and then we'll go from there.
My whole issue with the walkout was just there was no believability to it.
Okay.
I mean, it was... My whole thing is, and my point, and I've made this before, is that for those of you who kind of know, WWE wrestlers... And I don't know about the staff, and I know the staff did the walkout as well, but the wrestlers themselves, the talent, are considered independent contractors. They are not WWE employees. So them walking out on Triple H is in direct violation with their contract, and if you've ever been an independent contractor, you know that if you walk out on your job and essentially tell your boss to fuck off, you're going to be fired before you even hit the door.
Right.
So that part to me was just really unbelievable, that the fact that the WWE would let their entire roster walk out and not threaten legal action or not do anything about that. Especially when you have your champions walk out with the belts in hand and you just have made a big, huge deal about Punk doing it a month or two before.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing too.
Yeah, I mean, it just made it a little bit silly. So just some, you know, some indication or some acknowledgement that, yes, you shouldn't be doing this. Because the other thing is the wrestlers, as far as I know, were not unionized.
Right.
So they have nothing to protect them from the company coming down on them for this. It's really, you guys are under contract, you're in direct violation of the contract, we have every right to terminate you, so you can either do, you have two options, you can either go back inside and you can work, or you can get the hell off my lawn. And that's kind of what I would have liked to have seen from Triple H. Also, my other really big problem that I had with the walkout was they had no backup plan. I can understand if the entire roster walked out, and then they took the storyline to SmackDown, and they continued it on SmackDown, and they had no one. Mm-hmm. That I get. But the fact that they did it on Raw, they had everybody walk out on Triple H on Raw, and then they continue it the next week, where everybody's standing outside partying, and Triple H has John Cena, Sheamus, CM Punk, and himself to run the show, was just a little ridiculous. You had 7 days, and knowledge before that it was going, they were going to leave. That's plenty of time for you to line up scab workers, legends, bring guys back off of injury. I was kind of looking at the injury list. Mm-hmm. Kane could have easily come back at that point because it's enough time to sell the broken leg. You could have Taker come out and wave his hat. I mean, if you really want to sell the desperation of the situation, you find the loyalist. You have Triple H talking to people on the phone. He bites the bullet, you know, and he has to call people, you know, like The Undertaker or Kane or... you know, call in these legends or call in ex-WWE people that have been released and say, hey, you want a job for a night? I'll pay you to come in and work for me. And just come up with that kind of situation. I mean, just the fact that they had no backup plan, even though that opening of Raw was the best opening of Raw I've ever seen in my life, just the fact that they had no backup plan for it was a little ridiculous, especially when they actually hit this problem and the entire Raw crew got stranded over in England.
Yeah.
Because of the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to bring SmackDown in to cover for them. because I remember that, and the reason why I say they could have brought Taker back is because they did. They brought Taker back off of vacation because they had nobody. Triple H was the only name on that show.
Yeah, he's the only one who never went on, he didn't go on the trip.
So, you know, it's, you have them bite that bullet and bring them back. Just really sell the fact that this is a desperate situation. And they don't have anyone. And they really did a poor job of selling it and selling the panic of it.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I was going to say, you could do videos online of Triple H calling people, of him trying to bring people together to put the show together and really sell it.
Right, and the whole point is they did something that could have lasted 2 hours or even, you know, an entire week, and they cut it out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thought of it. It was like,
There's a natural fear of storylines in the WWE right now.
Yeah, but they fear ratings, too. They fear those quarter hours, and, you know, if they don't have the guys on TV, they're like, oh my god, but for 1 week, you know. And you know
for
how
1 week, you can take the hit.
Right, you can take the hit, but also, show them in the parking lot, and there you get them on your TV.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. They're striking. They've got a picket line. That's all you really have to do. But I don't think they canceled house shows in that period either.
No.
I don't think it got to that point. But, yeah, I mean, if you really sell the fucking angle, you know, say, you know, don't announce any shows for that weekend. Because, yeah, the smart marks will know, oh, well, there are never any shows in that weekend. That's a stupid announcement. But for the casual fan, it's, oh, they canceled the shows because of the strike.
See, what you guys are doing is called sitting down and writing and thinking about an angle and trying to make it good. Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yes, that's the fun of it, though.
That's the fun of it, yeah. They had a decent idea. It was a creative, different idea. The problem is the execution of it just lacked severely. Also, to build the walkout, they should have had something happen. I'm sorry, them saying, oh, well, you beating the crap out of Miz and R-Truth, and we're scared. We don't have any confidence in you. How many people did Vince McMahon take out? I'm sorry. Yeah. You saying that Hunter beating the crap out of Miz and R-Truth when they hit first, when they struck first and they were attacking the talent, Triple H gets in the cage and starts beating the fuck out of them? Yeah, I'm sorry. That's called self-defense right there, folks. He was defending his roster.
When you look at how far things were pushed with Vince McMahon as opposed to Triple H, yeah, Vince McMahon had a little thing called the Kiss My Ass Club. I mean, he pushed humiliation to a whole other level, and nothing ever happened. But the same rules just don't seem to apply here as far as what is an acceptable way to treat your roster and what is not.
I mean, they should have had, they did something right where they had, you know, Laurinaitis and Atunga trying to undermine Triple H. They should have continued that and set something up to where it points to him. Because then, you know, months down the road, you know, if you ever pay off the Laurinaitis Triple H storyline, you can have Hunter look at Laurinaitis and be like, you set me up. You fucked me over. Now your ass is mine.
I'd have been down for that.
So, yeah, there you have that. So, it's just some of our ideas. We'll get into it more, different ideas as the weeks go by and stuff. Because it's going to be fun. Rebooking is fun. Because we can only talk about how much, you know, this match happened and this match happened. We do it all the time. We're going to do it Sunday. We're going to dig into everything. Sometimes you got to switch things up and go, like, we saw how it happened, but what would we have done?
Exactly. Right. Do we want to go ahead and name the next storyline just so folks have some time?
We'll talk about it after the show, and then we'll announce it on Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
Because we'll be having a couple weeks, two, 3 weeks, we'll, you know, put it out there. What we want to actually do.
Okay. Well, in that case, I think it may be time for my favorite part of the show.
Which doesn't have a bumper, so you should talk about it. Lindsay!
We have Squee of the Week, and
yes,
it's...
Yes, Squee.
Unfortunately, it's not Kane.
Oh my god, for 2 weeks in a row, it's not Kane.
Sorry. But this, it was last minute, I completely forgot I had to pick it, I'm sorry, but anyway, the clip kind of speaks for itself, it's just awesome, go Rock, go.
Unwavering. No matter what I was going through.
Should mention it's probably not queued up perfectly because I'm doing it off the top. You know. So you're going to hear see Regal cry for a second, and then we're going to tell what it is.
He's the only man that I've ever heard describe a physique as he's built like a melting candle. I mean, that's awesome. Rey Mysterio. You know, when I get my tattoos done, I stay at Ray's and I end up bleeding all over his brand new crisp bed sheets, and I always feel horrible, but, you know, we have a good time and I miss him and I love him. Glenn, and Mark, and enough said there.
There's your Squee. Name dropper.
Matt Stryker.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah.
This is the actual Squee.
You see, Matt has this weird kind of neurotic anxiety when it comes to The Undertaker. Yeah, it's really weird. His nose starts to sweat. So right now, what is happening? If we can find Matt Stryker, his nose is sweating uncontrollably at this point. And in his mind, there's a dialogue, and he's saying, I guarantee it, oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker. That's happening right now.
So there you have it.
I love that clip.
That clip has become almost an obsession for her. Just so you know, that Taker, Taker, Taker thing is her ringtone on her cell phone.
I'm sorry. It's funny to me. Actually, the Tommy Dreamer story from his speech is better. I'm obsessed with Edge's speech from the Hall of Fame just because it's hilarious and awesome and it's Edge and I miss him terribly.
Yeah.
Come back to us, please. We want you.
I do not know how many other stories we will be able to hear as the years go by and different people go into the Hall of Fame that can match the epicness of a naked splash. By Edge.
Superfly
splash by Edge onto a snoring Tommy Dreamer.
Unless Taker's got a really good one, and you know he does, but he's not going to tell it.
Oh, Taker will be the speech to end all speeches.
I mean, I guarantee you, he's not. He will not talk. Watch, he will get out there. Whoever inducts him will give the speech to end all speeches, and then he will walk out there, he will say thank you, and he will leave.
He'll roll his eyes and go, thank you very much.
Rest in peace and leave. And that's exactly what we're going to get from Taker. Watch it happen.
He comes out on stage, lights go, then go back out. He disappears. Never to be seen again.
And that would be awful.
And that's when we're going to get on the radio and cry.
At least on this show, yes, there will be many tears that day.
Oh, my God, Taker left. Oh, my God, Taker left, Taker left, Taker left. God damn it, Taker left. Where the fuck is Taker? Oh, my God, where the fuck is Taker?
No, Taker, Taker, Taker.
Come back!
So, yeah, that was your Squee of the Week.
Yes, next week. It's been like two shows in a row. Yeah, I think it's been two shows in a row.
No. Last week we did Kane. You picked Kane.
Did I?
Yeah, you picked Kane.
Okay, well, it looks like that is our show for the week brought to you by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com. So, Rock, what else is going on Wild Talk Radio this week?
This Saturday night, it's Kane's PS. No, wait, what? No, it's CB Radio. It's Midnight Dish. It's the weird, wacky, unusual, you know, talking about anything. check it out. It's CB Radio, Rob Park, Subway, and myself, and whoever else decides to join the show, hashtag Blame Will. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Russell Talk Radio with not Tim Stein, Omega,
yay,
Jackie, twisting her arm so it's Lindsay. As we cover the week in pro wrestling, we'll get into more into the Ric Flair story and all the other odds and ends that happened over the last few days in pro wrestling, so check out 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night after Raw, it's the Raw post show. We talk about Raw, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. You know, Raw, so we talk about it. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Logic. You heard him. He has a long list of guests coming in the summer, including Scott Steiner, Maria Kanellis, and Bret Hitman Hart. We'll be all on the show this summer, so you don't want to miss it. Can't remember who he has this week, so just check out Facebook and he'll tell you. That's facebook.com/kayfabewrestlingradio. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show. Brian Bellotti hosts while Jed Schaefer takes care of his baby. And then
God help us all.
Then the Rack is back next week, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, and wow, Rock, you're getting better at doing that quicker. Okay, and so, Lindsay, how can people find you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, and you can follow the show at WTR, the_Rack. I do occasionally check the account. Once in a while.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. And if you enjoy this show, you may want to check out our podcast. We'll be doing one coming up soon. It's called Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, found at thehistoryofwwe.com. You can also check out a weekly article that I write every Friday for Phil Strum at the Poughkeepsie Journal for his wrestling blog called Under the Ring. It's blogs.poughkeepsiejournal.com/underthering. And I'm on that Monday show and that Sunday show that Rock was talking about. Come check me out there. And Rock, how can people follow the network on Twitter?
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like WTR Productions on Facebook and follow them at twitter.com/WTR_productions.
And you can follow our sponsors. It's at Botchedberg. And are they at iBlack on Twitter, Rock?
iBlack_.com, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but check it out. They'll be on our follow Friday tomorrow.
Yes, definitely. And thank you to iBlack.com and to BotchMerch.com. Go buy the shirt. Believe me, if you don't buy it now, you'll regret it. Believe me, I know I will never get my Real Men Have Curves shirt. But thank you to our sponsors for Rock and Lindsay. This is Jackie saying see you next week.
Come.